October 4th, 2021, so watch for Pedro Show. Thank you. for Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Start off the show with John Coltrane doing Stairway to the Stars with Milt Jackson. They used to call Milt Jackson Bags. So this record they did together was Bags and Train. Bags on the fucking vibes. And then Piss Jeans with Bathroom Laughter. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. All the way from Philly. Doing a coast-to-coasty here with Pedro. Brother Matt, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, glad to be here.
Absolute. And we got to make the big thank you to Brother Bill Nace for making the connect.
Always. He's on the top of my thanks list all the time.
Right. He's a connector, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you need those people to get everyone connected in ways they might not be otherwise.
Right. You know, in the Northwest, they got a slang called Lucky Pierre. You know that one?
No. What's that?
It's the middleman on a three-way, the socket man.
Yeah, I mean, so would that make him the lucky Pierre in this equation?
Well, you won't forget that, will you? Look, Matt, I'm really interested in your journey with music.
Yeah.
Okay, bring me your earliest musical memory of your life.
Oh, of my life? I mean, music is my number one thing, too. So it's been there pretty early on. I mean, early definitely come from my parents, just listening to whatever they're playing, which would have been, some, you know, kind of more mainstream disco, like early Michael Jackson, Van Morrison, Bruce Springsteen, that sort of stuff, which I, you know, perfectly fine, but, I wanted to find my own music, you know, rather than just like what they like. And I would say for me, I quickly glommed on to, like, you know, the LA hair metal scene of the mid 80s and such. When I was, you know, just a wee lad, that was really what spoke to me the most.
Where'd you grow up, Matt?
I grew up in the Northeast, kind of around New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. And then when I was a teenager, I moved to Pennsylvania and met the bandmates that I still have to this day. But yeah, as like a little kid, it was like Connecticut and New York for the most part.
Was there musical instruments in the pad you grew up?
No, not really. I mean, I still don't even have musical instruments around, honestly. I've got like a bass covered in dust with two strings. The neck is probably, you know, twisted 360 at this point from not being properly maintained. No, I feel like more of like a very involved fan a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Just like an active participant without the necessary musical background to really do anything valuable on that front, you know?
Sure. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Bon Jovi, New Jersey on tape, you know, saved up for that one.
The first gig you went and saw?
You know, first gig? I mean, I have to say I kind of avoided concerts. Like, yeah, I just, my family didn't go to them, and I discovered the local punk scene when I was a freshman in high school. And it was at a fire hall in a small town called Tatamy, Pennsylvania. And I wish I could remember the specific bands that played. I know a couple guys who were a grade older than me, their band played, which was called The Spunk. And, they were awesome. But for me, it was less about any particular band playing that night so much as realizing that this, like, counterculture actually existed, like, in the town where I lived and had 50 people that were actively participating. That was really mind-blowing and felt like exactly where I wanted to be.
Now, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No, I mean, I was on the basketball team. I don't know if that counts towards anything.
No, you know, I'm working on the mind reading, but in the meantime, Matt, I'm going to have to use words to ask these things. Because
I just
trip on it. You know, everybody has different paths to get to now, right? So
I'm just
curious and just, it's like you're at the bathhouse and the power goes off and like, is that you? Is that you? You know, it don't matter.
Right? No, for me, I never equated music with like any sort of formality or like things that adults would tell you how to do it or take you through like training or any sort of Like, it, to me, it was just like a private moment with friends and other like-minded people to just do whatever we wanted, kind of. And so I never really bothered with, like, training of any sort. I did learn to play the bass, you know, just enough to, like, be in a band, basically. But that barely worked out. And then I just got on the mic when I was probably 15 or so.
The voice is an instrument. It's probably one of the first ones, right, besides the bottom of the feet. Those were probably the first drums. Bass. Did anybody help you with that, or are you self-taught?
No, I mean, I had like a VHS that came with the bass of like how to learn, but really I just would, you know, pick out songs that I kind of wanted to learn and just thought I could figure them out. And then when I was kind of playing bass with my friends, the template was like the first four Discord singles, you know, and just covering SOA, covering Government Issue, stuff
like
that.
We're gonna have to fight.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's like why learn anything else on bass? You know, that's the beginning and end for me. So
I remember that record. It was green vinyl. It had like 10 songs on it. So it was
really great. That was like we were really into that as kids, and I mean, still are to a certain.
Well, what
extent,
about that
sure.
Spunk gig? Did that Spunk gig motivate you to get a band going?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, you see, I saw that, and anytime I really like something, I want to participate, I feel like, and, you know, try to, even if I have no business being there, you know, like, if I hung around with enough chefs for a while, I'd probably start making, you know, wedding cakes or something, and maybe they'd be terrible, but I can't control myself when it comes to being inspired.
You get enthusiastic.
Yeah, for sure. If it's something that I'm into, and I mean, I never like equate it with, ooh, I could turn this into a job, or ooh, I could finagle like a career out of it. To me, it's always just separate from anything that involves making money, and then I can just enjoy it.
Well, what about school? Not graduating school, but like in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. Did you do that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like I was lucky enough to kind of get in with the guys in the Spunk, maybe not them particularly, but like other friends that were all in my high school. Cause there was like the Spunk were kind of the, like 7 Seconds-y poppier band.
Skeeno.
And then there was a band.
When I think of 7 Seconds, I think of Skeeno.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they had like a lot of the like whoa-ohs, you know, in the chorus. Green Day.
What was it? We can rock together.
Yeah, exactly. And then a few of those guys were in another band that was more like metallic straight edge hardcore, and which was less my thing, but I still thought it was the coolest thing ever, you know, just discovering that these worlds existed.
Sure.
And it was like guys from those two bands that I was able to do something with to start off, which was, we called Citizens Unheard. And we played a few shows.
Oh, you gave me some of that. We're going to play it in the third hour.
Sure,
I didn't really know the chronology, so I put a bunch of pissed jeans up front. But, so did you, you didn't join that band. You put that band together.
Yeah. That was Brad and Randy, who are in Pissed Jeans with me now.
Yeah.
They were also in Citizens Unheard. And then, like, my good friend at the time, Zach, who pieced out of punk by like senior year. He played guitar. He was like into having a nice amp and stuff, and the rest of us were just kind of scratching our heads, you know. but yeah, that was super fun, like playing shows. There was a club where they would make you sell tickets to be able to play.
Well,
and we would just kind of do that.
In fact, you were talking about Sunset Boulevard and that butt rock scene. Whiskey, Roxy, those are both pay-to-play pads now. But in the old days, they were the best place a punk band could play in Hollywood. You gave me this Piss Gene tune, Love Clown. I love this. Let's play it.
Guys, ready for another? Oh, we have three more. I'm sorry. Let me alone. The same people know me as hello. it's my day. Right in the face of the blast of me.
Thank you. Razorbug is coming with his golden boots and clubs. Razorbug is here with his surfboard suicide. Razorbug is back with his vegetable girls. Razorbug is thirsty, drinking green worm soda. Razorbug is talent, let him join your jacket. Razorbug is out there in the clearing of his temples. Razorbug is goofy from the shots.
My logo is born on a ray of sound. Sleeps on what's or works on hot ice. My life for her.
Come again, selector. Listen, we're not second cutting that one thing. Come in. This is a different version. You hear me? Run the tape, my Reggie.
When you ask me if I'm a feminist, I say to hell with powerlessness, to hell with loneliness, damn all those people pushing women down. Yes, there are women in positions of power, but so many more in chains and drudgery. Ignored, undermined, undervalued, braved, abused. So when you ask me if I'm a feminist, I say, why the hell would I not be? So when you ask me if I'm a feminist, I say, why the hell would I not be? If I'm lucky, I say, you better hear that.
Stomach isn't holding too well, but I continue to eat. The snowdrops keep falling so cold, and my body is telling me sleep. Such a long night of drinking last night, I almost reached back in time and kissed you across the tabletop, then asked you if you would mind. This risotto is cheesy and wet, and my shoes have peninsula stains. The wet snow, it can hold so much dirt, but can't hold the accumulation of my tame lost eyes. When I see you, I see the mirrored glow. Do you love me the way that I love a stale leaf in the autumn? On the ground amongst others, what made you choose me? I've seen that pressure of choice paralyze other wheeled charioteers, and the shelves of fluorescent aisles stocked with sirens' tears. I babbled on about someone I bleed for. As we approach that window full light, all the people inside, they look so friendly. They'll threaten off my lonely lovers lonely tonight. Don't you threaten off my lonely lovers lonely tonight. These lies might convince someone else, but I wrote them just for you. Thought I might find another way home to your pornographic reviews. I know that I gave you away, and I know that I wanted you back. And the wine drips slower this side of waking. And the wine drips slower this side of waking time tonight. And the wine drips slower this side of waking. And the wine drips slower this side of waking.
Whopper Pete Up Show. We started that chunk of music off with Love Clown from Piss Jeans. Maya Fagina, she's got brand new music. I think she's working with Greg from Deerhoof. And this is Breeze Through My Life. And Deerhoof's got something brand new. And this is called We Grew and We Are Astonished. Guided by Voice is brand new. Of course, Pop Pollard's putting shit out every other month. Go Dayton. This is called Razorbug. She is Beyond Good and Evil. This is a Dennis Bovell dub version, brand new, of a pop group tune from, what, late 70s? Bitcha, a lot of influence pop group on Minuteman. Gina Birch from the Raincoats, she just put out a single called Feminist Song. Graf from Netherlands with Pipeline. Not the Johnny Thunders used to always open with Pipeline. Who's that, Ventures, right? Mr. Mondo, shit like that. Great music. Andre Vita out of Berlin with This Side of Walking. Molchak Doma with Sudno, I think out of Belarus. SLWCC Watt. This is a collab with Sam Locke in Iowa City. Release Me. And finally, Piss Jeans, I'm Sick. I remember a Mudhoney tune, Touch Me, I'm Sick, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't copyright a title anyway, people.
You know, yeah.
And to continue more with Matt's story here. Okay, can you tell me the first fucking Citizens Unheard gig?
Gee, I mean, I'm trying to recall. It was definitely at a club called Scarlet's in downtown Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I don't know, it feels like a blur, but it felt fantastic just being out there, being kind of on the younger side of the crowd. Not that anyone was really over the age of 21. I would imagine.
Yeah.
But it was just super fun jumping around on stage, poking at the drop ceiling tiles.
Were you scared?
And no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I get scared all the time, but yeah. The not of being on a stage for whatever reason.
So you call this that first gig a success?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, it was just like immediately wanting more. Can I
ask you about the material? Like you say, at first when you were jamming with your buddies, you were like copying records, right, from the Discord and stuff. Did you guys early on start writing your own material?
Oh, yeah, like immediately. I mean, like the guys that I was playing with, they were already doing their own bands, writing their own songs. So there was never any, like, thought of being a cover band. Those covering, like, Discord songs was more just for, personal fun and to get a feel for playing music together. I guess. But yeah, we were writing our own songs immediately.
Can I ask you about the process? Did you write any on your bass?
I did write a few. And I mean, the most simple, bargain level riffs that everyone has played since the beginning of stringed instruments. But, they still sound decent sometimes.
Do you remember a band called Pylon?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they had a song called Dub. And that bass part is one fucking whole note.
That's all you need. Yeah, I mean, the less notes, the better.
And the lady's like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I ate dub for breakfast, and the guitar's going wild. Drum's doing all this fucking fills and flails. But that bass note, it's so econo. I love it.
Yeah, I got to hear that.
I think it was their first 45. Athens, Georgia, I think. Tom Smith did some collab. He's living in Germany, and he said he got that singer lady to be part of it, so maybe that's coming out soon.
From Live and Shave in L.A.?
Yeah, that's the cat, right.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Probably a Bill Nace friend, too. But he's Georgia originally, so I think he has a connect with those cats. Matt, let me ask you about Citizen Unheard. Did you guys record?
Just on a box, in Brad's basement. Nothing that, we never even issued a demo, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a blur, that 16 to 17-year-old, era seems so long and involved compared to the past, 30 years of my life somehow. But we didn't really do, we just played shows, and then we kind of went into other bands. It was always the same core group of nine people that had 14 different bands of varying levels of commitment, in the same high school or I guess the same general area, the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania.
So Citizens of Hurt just kind of unraveled and people went into these other projects they were already involved with?
Yeah, we were all still friends.
Yeah.
Citizens Unheard, it was kind of innocent too, because like I wrote all the lyrics and the majority of the songs were just like about our friends. You know, that was like our limited life understanding, you know, and the realm that we existed in was just, let's write a song about like Derek. Let's write a song about Dale Nestfetter. Let's write a song about Zach, who plays guitar in the band. You know what I mean? It's kind of like quaint almost looking back.
Yeah,
sweetly naive.
Me and my buddy, we wrote one for one of our buddies. Tony Gets Wasted in Pedro, and you can imagine what it was about. It was about Tony Gets Wasted.
I mean, you got to write about what you know, right?
Right. Nothing.
So.
Well, what was your process? Did you have a little notebook of words, or did you just write on demand? Hey, we need a tune. Think of some words.
Yeah, no, it was notebooking it for sure, you know, and kind of just trying to put together ideas that would go. But yeah, very, very sweet stuff. You know,
Did the words come first ever?
I feel like for me, it's usually the concept, maybe the overarching theme of what I'd like to express comes first.
Yeah, sure.
And then the words fill in the blanks after the fact.
I know exactly what you mean, because I have to have the title so I have some fucking focus.
Right. Yeah. No, the title can build back from there, I found.
Yeah, but a lot of cats I ask, titles always last. Not with what.
I'm just like writing from like almost my normal speaking, you know, tone. Like there's not a whole lot of like flowery metaphors or like interesting poetic twists, you know, it's more about trying. And I love people who can do that. That's just like not what I can do, you know? So.
Yeah. I remember, you know, cause I didn't write songs until the movement. I only wrote one song as a teenager. It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. And basically, Bob playing a bass solo that blew the rest of the band off. So it was disgusting.
Oh, man.
But when the movement came, all of a sudden I was like, I try to talk to girls and I keep thinking of World War III. I go to work, I keep thinking of World War III. You know what I mean? There was something about,
that's great.
Like you're saying with your buddies, when you got cats with you and you're in a movement, man, things are way different when it comes to creating and getting caught up in the emotional.
Sure. Yeah, no, it was a good time. I mean, I look back happily.
So, what was the band you did after the Citizen?
After that, we ended up the band that we did, or that I did with the most fervor and like actual activity, like the first band that put out like a 7-inch that I was in.
Yeah,
was called the Ultimate Warriors, and we were like loud, like on the grindcore end of things, like screaming, super fast drumming, and fairly strict pro wrestling theme.
Yeah, I was going to ask
the majority
about
of the music.
Because he was one of the more obvious steroid users.
Yeah, yeah, no, we were into it. I mean, we still are. A lot of my friends, some of my, you know, a good portion of my buddies went on to like pro wrestling school. I guess it's what you do in Pennsylvania, you know, you just, it's our version of like the circus or, you know, carnival lifestyle or something. And it hooked us all in.
Yeah, me and Pettibone saw a lot of wrestling. We liked it more in the 80s, though, when the McMahon Jr. guy, he fucking fouled everything. And
yeah,
in fact,
I mean,
wrestling used to be
definitely
a lot more regional. There probably was a Pennsylvania League or something.
Oh, yeah, no, very regional. Very, very real, too. You know, like it wasn't, there wasn't the wink and the nod that there is now, for better or worse. You know, it was, you really want to kill the guy as you're watching him leave the arena, you know, which I find a little exciting, honestly, that magic, you know.
Well, the beefs were the big thing, even more than the match, in a way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, I mean, so much of that has informed my, you know, how to act on stage is watching wrestlers on the mic and seeing what they do to engage the audience and get people interested in what they're saying, feel, like, energized. It's all, you know, just various different techniques for, like, entertainment, broadly speaking.
I tell you, the best, you know, beef cat for me was Don Morocco, man. Especially when he had that beef with fucking Tito Santana. You know, I look inside your eyes, I see a little boy crying. Tito Santana.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love a good promo. Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
Well, you're into the kayfabe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems to have evaporated more or less. You know, wrestlers have reality shows now, you know, as does anyone.
Look at the
I
last
suppose.
Clown in office. Look,
yeah,
we're at the end
yeah,
of
course.
At the end of the first hour, October 4th, 2021 edition. Why Peter's your special guest, Matt Corvette. Hold tight for hour two. October 4th, 2021, second hour, walk for Pedro.
Chosen.
bartending the truth against forgiving wine. My bloody smile against all of your time. The finite beats of this heart, I'll drink till you've counted each one. You scream your song so many young times. Let me sing it away till I've lost all its rhyme. And each lovely ounce of your voice is converted to mine. Bleeding drunken lips, tasting your time. Bleeding drunken lips, caressing your time. Your robe opened up on a dissolving chapter. And each time I see it, it rewrites your body. Hiding my soldiers beneath your left breast. Civilians can see through the rest. Bleeding drunken lips, tasting your time. Bleeding drunken lips, caressing your time. I've been known to procrastinate longer than rentals. This thrill can accumulate beyond the number. Each form of time as it passes you by smirks at the other with expectant eyes. Bleeding drunken lips, tasting your time. Bleeding drunken lips, caressing your time. Baker or lighter, and each time I hear it erases your sins, but the stains on your lips remain childlike and bleary, and that mouth is a liar till one of us wins, and that mouth is a liar till one of us wins. That mouth was a liar till one of us wins. And that mouth was a liar till one of us wins.
that you will be comfortable.
Pedro Show. Start of the second hour. Piss Jeans. Throbbing organ. What other kind of organ is? Male organ, right? Okay. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Bad Luck. Mold Omen now. Balmore with Dialtov. Hall Pass? I think it's some kind of plastic heroin, right? Or is that Dilaudid? Andre Vita. Oh, shit. I played him twice. Andre, you're on. You got two songs on one watch show. Out of Berlin with, yeah, that's Pilot Air, huh? Drunken Lips. And then How Yes No out of Croatia with Sound Guy from next door Slovenia. Well, it was same in those days. Shim Sisa, which means Tits Fair, live at Club Koka, Split 2015, Trobikova, Kushta, Pesci, and then finally, Piss Jeans with the L word. We used to use L for acid, right? Eat some L.
Huh.
Yeah, that's Pedro slang, now you know. Because, Motan, yeah, we got our own words. Actually borrowed from Mexico. So this band, after Sisters Unheard, Ultimate Warriors, you didn't give me any of that music.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I was trying to pick a song. They're all like, you know, 17 seconds long. And maybe it's best if we just imagined what they sound like, you know?
Okay. But it was kind of a holding pattern. It's the one up.
Oh, no, that was like, it was very creative, but in like a way that was thematic, like it wasn't personal.
Yeah.
You know, necessarily.
Yeah.
And it was a great time to, like, that was the first time I got into a studio and like had to record, you know, same with a lot of my bandmates. And the first time we left town to play shows.
Yeah. Did you know, tour?
We had one tour.
Okay.
And it was like between my like 18th and 19th birthday.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks. And it was so much fun. Like, you know, incredible amounts of fun. Like some of the worst sleeping arrangements I've ever been subjected to, but you know, you bounce right back when you're almost 19 years old. So
yeah, you know what, air mattress, it took me like 35 years of touring to figure that out. You can conk on fucking rocks at the beach with an air mattress. They're econo too.
It's true,
you know. Yeah, slow learner.
Yeah.
So how long does the Ultimate Warriors last?
That kind of rolls into, I want to say like 4 years maybe we got probably out of that.
So you get up
and
to
again,
drinking
it's like, yeah, like same group of dudes. And we just, a couple guys went into a different band and, you know, moved around. And then we ended up doing more of a traditional, like, U.S. hardcore sounding band called the Gatecrashers for probably not a whole lot of years, maybe like, that was like, it started off with a couple of the dudes just recording the songs by themselves, and I want to say like 98, 99. And then by like 2003, we went to California and then kind of got, I guess, less interested in that and more interested in doing Piss Jeans, which we just started up at that point too.
Now, when you mean we, the same group of cats?
Yeah, the Gatecrashers and Piss Jeans were the same four people, just on different instruments. You know, switched them up.
Okay, I love that.
Which is funny because, like, the Gatecrashers was, like, maybe the more technically sound positioning for our specific instruments.
Yeah.
But Piss Jeans is where it all came alive for us, I think, for sure. We just really figured out what we should be doing.
And how'd that happen, Matt? What spurred that?
I love hardcore and I love fast songs, but I think once you write enough fast songs, you need to try something different. And so we just basically tried to write hardcore songs that were played at a third the speed, which, you know, that certainly brings to mind, like, you know, Flipper was big for us and Bobby Sox and stuff like that, you know, like definitely like the Subterranean Records sort of vibe. Like anti-punk, but existing within punk. That was what was really inspiring us the most. And it just felt like fun and comfortable. It was like refreshing too. just to be able to let our personalities kind of shine through more rather than worry about like a dazzling transition or like a really fast drum fill or something.
No, but the key move was just switching positions.
Yeah, no, for sure.
What a trip. Okay, you gave me some more piss jeans here. Have you ever been furniture?
There's an interesting Charlie Mingus quote like that.
Have you ever been close? Oh, USA, I'm ashamed I failed you. I had to crack into my pandemic rations. You see the line outside the grocery store slouched all the way back toward the National Guard at the door of the rock club morphed into a food bank. And I had to hurry home before curfew. USA, way back in the 80s, when I was but a wee lad, eager and failing to befriend kids with popped up collars. There was this one man like white noise in the background. Such class, such charm, such cool, such credibility. Compassion and wit, warmth and wisdom, subtlety, sensitivity. Such a big yacht, such honor, such grace, such a complex command of irony. Nuance and depth, a man of such true soul. Our collective spirit so resolutely. We anointed him El Duce. Greatest aspiration. teachers. Many people are saying you can cope with windmill cancer, but trying to get into a stable genius answer.
Your faith. I walked in off the street into her room. They look pretty bad. She made me read the report. And after all the contortions, I met a legal girl. A legal girl. A legal girl. His body, and then they burn his clothes. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter who you sleep with now, you'll always sleep alone. So it may as well be me. I got nowhere to be. I'll probably hang around. Yeah, just you, me, us two, and your legal girl. Walls and cops ain't calling for you, but you know that kids can't stay with you. It seems the only thing that you've got coming is just the spaces that I live by all the things that go like your legal ghost. Illegal guns. Illegal guns. You see, it doesn't really matter who you sleep with now, you're just a legal ghost. It doesn't really matter who you speak with now, you're just a legal ghost. No, it doesn't really matter who you talk to now, you're just a legal ghost. And it doesn't really matter where you walk to now, you're just a legal ghost. A legal ghost. You're a legal ghost.
ever gone to war seems harder now. And ain't the corners just a little darker now? Now that your faith has failed you, ain't in a paper trail, leads to your legal ghost. Your legal ghost. Your legal ghost. No, it doesn't really matter who you sleep with now, you're just a legal ghost. Yeah, it doesn't really matter who you speak with now, you're just a legal ghost. No, it doesn't really matter who you talk to now, you're just a legal ghost. And it doesn't really matter where you walk to now, you're just a legal ghost. A legal ghost. A legal ghost. No, it doesn't really matter who you sleep with now, you're just a legal ghost. And it doesn't really matter who you speak with now, you're just a legal ghost. It doesn't really matter who you talk to now, you're just a legal ghost. And it doesn't really matter where you walk to now, you're just a legal ghost.
for Pedro. Show that Cherokee music star all his jeans doing. Have you ever been furniture? And that Charlie Mingus quote is, somebody asked him, what is music or some kind of trip. And he said, trying to talk about music is like dancing about furniture.
I've heard variations of that, and
why not?
There's a kernel of truth in there.
Yeah, because I think it gets shoved down the same path. Big Boys after that. This is some stuff from old days, Austin. We Got Soul. In fact, me and my Missing Men Second Men are going to cover this for 7-inch with Tim Kerr on the other side.
Brother Tim Kerr. Perfect.
He's got an acoustic band now, and he's doing a lot of painting. Gave me a great painting of John Coltrane. Head Boggle after that with Sky Rider. Piff Yourself from Sandlot Ward featuring Joel Cyrus. Good old Sandlot Ward. Reality Winners from Good Fuck. Tropical Fuckstorm with Legal Ghost. And finally, Piss Jeans. She is science fiction. Tell me about the first Piss Jeans gig.
Man, I should do better documenting the stuff for myself as far as, specifics. It gets hazy. But I know we played in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where we were stationed. Our bassist at the time lived in a punk house called the Pirate's Cove that had shows in the basement, relentlessly. And it's had to have been there or a few blocks away at, a fire hall. But, yeah, immediately felt great. I don't know. This was the one band that felt like we understood it the moment it got started. Maybe we were at the mature age of, 22, 23 to really have a grasp on what we wanted to do in a band. But, yeah, we probably played Allentown for sure. And I think we were immediately met with people didn't mind it, at least. People dug it for the most part. Definitely seemed different, at least at the time, to us and, the bands we were playing with. Because this was also, the scene that we existed in was full of, the thrash resurgence of, early 80s hardcore, and which we were decidedly not. But it's fun to play with bands that we don't sound like. It can be kind of a drag if we're playing with bands that just sound like us, honestly.
I see your point there. Now once you turned Piss Jeans, you guys never went back to the fucking Ultimate Warriors?
No, nothing else. No, we haven't done any sort of, reunion gig or anything. Not that we're opposed to it. It's just, I don't know.
No, once you got down that train track, you guys kept going. Don't look back, right?
Yeah, for sure, sure.
And then I know Piss Jeans did many tours.
Yeah, we've been out there the most of anything.
And with that first tour, was it kind of like a continuation, or was it like kind of starting new?
We were touring on the support of our demo tape, which is funny to think about, and it was immediately a fail. We had a guy in the band named Dave who lives in Pittsburgh now, and he's like a full-time mechanic converting buses and vehicles to run on vegetable oil. We're on good terms. The last I saw from him, he put a Tesla motor in a BMW for no apparent reason. And was just, a mechanic brain. I can't follow it, but I admire all of his accomplishments. But he at the time would convert. we would go on tour. He would get one of those mini shuttle buses somewhere and convert it, and we would drive it, and it would break down mercilessly. It would smell like French fries and Chinese food, which wasn't really that bad.
No.
But we would just constantly break down. And that first tour, we made it to Pittsburgh, played a fairly fine show, and then got stranded there for 3 days and had to get towed back.
Talk about Pittsburgh. You're beyond the Electric Banana days, right?
Yeah, no, this is we were playing a place called the Mr. Roboto Project, which is kind of modeled after Gilman.
Sure. Okay. The different phases, I get. If you call a tour more than a month, I've done 67 of them, so I get blurry, too. You talk about your
minute. Oh, sure.
Matt, we're at the end of the second hour, October 4, 2021, edition of WAP Pedro Show. Special guest, Matt Corvette. Hold tight for hour 3! October 4th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Show Deja Vu all over again. We start off the third hour. So this is Unheard with Top, then Babes New York City, Tucson Clouds. We ain't gonna say nothing about that band name. Al Margolis, Chester, New York, Feb Guitar, 25 April 2010, Planning for Burial, Pennsylvania Man Alone Proj. And then another Pennsylvania Man Alone Proj, Matt Corvette, with his trend forecast and laying down the lawn. People, it's gonna be the first time for you, but it ain't for us. We're going to try. But what I learned from Brother Matt here is that he, besides being a member of a band, he likes to do stuff on his own. And he taught himself how to play keyboard and bass just enough so he wouldn't lose the magic. And he uses an old beat-up Mac Pro with some temperamental garage band to bring forth his own personal expression, Man Alone.
That's exactly right, yeah.
You want to expand? Okay. Do any of these tunes ever make it past trend forecast in the piss
genes? You know, sometimes a thing can you know, migrate into piss genes somewhere, but mostly, you know, piss genes kind of started as like a refusal of skill and, you know, suave musicality, and we couldn't help but get better as a band by existing for, you know, I don't know, 17 years, 18 years. So I had to bring it back to a level of, you know, appropriately sucking for my own personal pleasure. And I feel like that's what's being accomplished here, you know?
So in a way, you're trying to recapture the early Piss Genes moments with your trend forecast, or is trend forecast?
Yes.
Oh, okay, just, you are. So you're trying to recapture that early moment when...
Yeah, no, I like... I like things that are accident riddled and,
sure.
You know, more mistakes than, you know, correct attempts, just for listening for my own personal pleasure. So long as it comes from a sincere place, you know, just like anything, I guess you want it to
be. John Coltrane said you could play a shoestring if you're sincere. And maybe you like to surprise yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you never know what's going to really work or what just might be something that I just hit. Toss in the recycling bin, you know, but no harm there.
Right, right. But it does take a little humility, and man, that's kind of lacking. Especially somebody, they're not sticks, but they fucking are sticks. If anything you do on cruise control or sleepwalking. So, yeah, I like that. Maybe this is just an antidote to sleepwalking, you know, you're fully awake to make. You know, you gave me some gate crashes. Now, this time,
yeah.
going, gone. It's. Richard Hell covered a Bob Dylan song called that off of Planet Way.
Oh, man, this has less to do with that than humanly possible, I think.
Earlier I told you you can't copyright a title, so don't worry.
That's right. Yeah, no, that was Brad, who plays guitar in Piss Genes, was the singer of Gate Crashers. And I am, you know, unaware of what his lyrical process was. Besides it being hasty, and let's just, you know, get some expletives in there. So, yeah, I don't know, but, you know, that one, I like that one, that track. I played the bass on it. I'm proud of, you know, playing the bass.
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen.
Hot for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. Start off the chunk, Gate Crashers, which actually is the beginning of Matt's music thing, but it's at the end because it's a fucking Hot from Pedro. Going, going, gone. Then Nadja out of Berlin with Fruiting Bodies. Ryan James, Mabe, Golden Spear. Black Humor out of the city. And Dancing in the Dirt. Yeah, they had this tune, you know, one of the lines, the lady screams, "The only thing new is you finding out about it." Hippies with black leather jackets. Hippies! It's the most insane song, you know, because you had this thing with 70s punks, you know, and when the kids came from the suburbs to do hardcore, a lot of those, like in Hollywood and the city and New York City probably too, fuck these young people, you know, and it's our thing.
Yeah.
What a bunch of shit. Come on.
Yeah, Black Humor, where they were like, they put out that album. Was they're from San Francisco?
You know about this. They would take soul records and just paint their name on the guy. Mine had Aretha Franklin, and they painted
Black Humor. Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, some of them tunes. I mean, it was something like, maybe not gigs, right? You just did in your pad or a studio, but it... That's, to me, what punk was. You know, it was anything. It wasn't just playing fast. It was just trippy shit. But fast
is for sure.
Too.
You're very reactionary.
Actually, we had a fast band in the SoCal called Middle Class.
Oh, yeah. One of the fastest.
Right, right. Okay, early on, right? And they did gigs with the Germs, even though they were Orange County. There's three brothers. One of them just lost to cancer. And after Black Humor, right? Font with City Limit Enlighten us to write Font.
Yeah, that's another. That was another like solo thing. That was the advent of me messing around with some electronics and just doing stuff. I figured I'd go deep on these tracks I shared with you here today. Gets played for the first time and only time in public, you know.
So write Font predates. Trend
that was like 2006, 2007, let's say. Trend Forecast is like a year ago,
okay.
Maybe not even.
So kind of like, informed by COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, just nothing makes the clock blow by other than like making music at home. You know what I mean?
It's such a great. Totally agree. Man, it's been a lifeline for me. Every fucking day I play. I've been doing 5 shows a week since November with my show here, but... I totally concur with you here. So what is the difference? You didn't like progress, right? You're not a prog rock. You're
that was more electronic.
Right?
Trend Forecast is hopefully the semblance of something closer to, let's say, Black Humor. You know, like or like Urinals or something, but even more unrefined. You know, just the crude. Elements of what would constitute a punk band.
Urinals. You know about Urinals. They were huge influence on Minutemen.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Yeah,
you know, they were like film students at UCLA and just thought, let's make a band, you know, in 1977.
Love it, yeah.
Yeah, me too. And we did too. And in fact, they didn't know who was going to play what. I think they picked straws or something. So when they made that first record, you know, Surfing with the Shaw, hey, this amplifier's got 2 plugins. Why do we have to buy 2 amps? They plugged the bass and the guitar played the same amp. And then Kevin,
you know,
the drum set, hey, this is a lot cheaper. It had paper skins. It was a toy.
Yeah, do they have a bass drum even? I can't even recall.
Yeah,
like
but
was
it was
other...
paper, you know. It was like a little kid fucking trip. Yeah, but they didn't know, you know. They just got into it. And that's what amazed us, you know, that if dudes had fucking... balls like church bells to do shit like that. Why are we copying Blue Oyster Cult and Creedence at home? So that's how we got on board. We love
that. That's great, yeah. It's a real light bulb moment for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So what you got going right now? Right now, your current interest is Trend Forecast?
I mean, Piss Jeans are working on new stuff.
Oh,
so that's
great,
taking,
great, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we sadly had to... you know, relegate ourselves to like a band FaceTime call during, you know, COVID when that was all happening.
Sure.
But we've been, you know, practicing again since April now, and it's just been like heavenly, you know, being together and working on new stuff. I'm really psyched on it.
You got an album coming? You think you got an album coming?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
About where?
Weird. I mean, like, what do you think? Like, this will be like album number 6, and that's just like a weird point in any band's career, right?
Sure,
like,
sure.
You know, like, how do you convince someone who might love you that they need 6 of your albums, you know? So we're going to try to
figure
that out.
Good songs, right?
You know, I mean, that's really what we're aiming for, is just like the best possible songs we can write. But it's just like we're not new, but we're also not like a reunion circuit band. Yeah, we're like in that weird zone where it's like not our time, you know, in front of the global stage.
Late 11th grade.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you remember putting out your 6th album and how that must have felt differently.
It was the worst Minutemen record. It's called Three Way Tie for Last. It was the worst one. But things come in cycles. I think there's hills and valleys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling super psyched on it. Although, like, Pistons, I feel lucky. We've never had a moment that we've been like, oh, well, that sucked. Well, let's, you know, pretend that never existed. But it's also, it's a hard because we're not, like, necessarily a band with elaborate musical growth. You know what I mean? We want to keep it to the same general, like, universe of sound.
Sure.
But, we're like, this isn't going to be, like, our keyboard record or something. You know what
no.
I mean?
No. But we also, Matt, we're running. Matt, you can write a novel and not invent one word, and it can be totally original.
Yeah, right.
Okay? So no, I mean, it's all vocabulary. When you get this new album recorded, why don't you bring the band on the show and talk? We'll talk about every one of the fucking tunes.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
You
I'd
into
love
that?
To. Yeah, completely,
okay.
Yeah.
Totally open, because I love what you guys are doing. I love what you're doing. So please keep
Thanks
on
so much.
Keeping on, brother.
Yeah, same to you.
Okay. People, it's been October 4th, 2021. This is why Peter shall keep you powder dry.